Thank you so much, Brother Steve. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Twos and threes, fours and fives, you can be dismissed. This morning, I want to begin a new series on Paul's prayer life. As I was reading a couple of the New Testament books, it just began to kind of astound me how much Paul says to people, I pray for you, over and over and over again. So I just began to jot down times that he said that, times that he said that, times that he said that, and ended up with a page full of references. And then as I began to study this, I was pretty amazed at what Paul prayed for these people. So this morning, I want us to begin this series. It will go at least 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, or whatever, all right? This morning, as we walk through some things, and then Lord willing, 2 weeks from now, do some more, I'm leaving out two significant passages of Scripture, one prayer in Colossians and another prayer in Ephesians, because those are lengthy prayers, if you will. Sometimes he just lists a verse. I'm praying for you about this. But in those, there are some lengthy prayers, if you will, that Paul says, here's what I'm praying for you about. It really doesn't take us long to read Paul's writings until you recognize that he prayed many times for lots of people, for lots of churches, in lots of ways. In addition to everything else, Paul was a prayer warrior. And I don't know that, obviously, many people believe that Paul was probably the greatest Christian that walked the face of the earth, and whether you believe that or not, you certainly would assume that that means he prayed. But I've just been amazed at how much he prays. And I'm thinking, okay, so you're starting churches all over the known world at that time, and you're writing multiple New Testament books, and you're discipling young preacher boys because he does that. And of course, some of those books are to that and so forth. And it's like, okay, Paul was quite the busy man. In addition to that, by the way, he tent-maked as well. He worked in many cities that he was in. And I think it's important for us to understand this aspect. In the day in which we live, it's easy for us to say, I'm busy. Now, maybe we wouldn't say, I don't have time to pray, but we don't take the time to pray. But I think it's pretty safe to say that if the Apostle Paul had time to pray, you and I ought to have time to pray. I could have chosen a number of texts this morning to begin with, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I think that's a good synopsis of Paul's prayer lives, his prayer life. He prayed night and day. He prayed exceedingly. He prayed for others. He prayed that he might see them. He prayed that he might perfect their faith, that he wanted to see them grow in the Lord. We also find, as we study this over the next few weeks, that Paul wanted people praying for him. He understood that as he prayed for others, he needed people praying for him all the time as well. If you're like most people, just mentioning a series on prayer and we already kind of get convicted, like, okay, I'm sure I can do better in my prayer life. Most of us feel that way. What does it mean to pray? And we're primarily going to concentrate just on Paul's things. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. Generally, we're not going to go out to those other passages. We're just going to keep it to Paul's. But the word prayers means to pray to God. It carries the idea of to wish or to place set aside for addressing God. In other words, it's a specific place. It's not just the act of praying, but it's the place of prayer as well. It means to ask for a need or to want. It carries the idea to desire or to beg. So we can see some intensity in prayer. The word intercession means to go to someone on behalf of another. And we'll talk about that aspect of prayer here in just a little bit. Prayer is commanded by God in multiple places of Scripture. It's not just an option for us. God actually commands us to do so. So we're to be in a state of prayer at all times. It's interesting that the apostles ask the Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us to preach. They didn't tell you to teach us to love others. Teach us to, you could fill in the blank. They specifically said, Lord, teach us to pray. By the way, after hearing him pray, you ever prayed with someone and you think, oh, wow, like that person was really talking to God. Like this wasn't just a show. This was legit, you know, if you will. I'll never forget in high school, we had a teacher that had a profound impact on me in a number of ways. But one of those ways that I can remember to this day was he would pray to start class. And you already got the sense that he wasn't just praying through whatever, you know, but he actually was talking to God. But I'll never forget one day he was in the middle of a prayer and a knock came on the door of the classroom door. And he said, excuse me, Lord, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but somebody's at the door. And I thought, that's what you'd say if you were talking to someone and someone knocked at the door? That's the way he thought it was. And he goes and answers the door, comes back, and he said, Lord, that was so-and-so, and he just needed to tell me such and such. But anyway, and he goes back to talking, and it was like, that profoundly impacted me because he was talking to God as if God was standing right there, and he had a relationship with him. I'll never forget that. That's the way prayer is supposed to be for us. Prayer was one of the foundational parts of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They prayed together. Someone has said, prayer moves the heart and the hand of God. What are some things that Paul requested or prayed for others? Lord willing, in 2 weeks we'll get to some of these, but I think it's safe for us to say how Paul prayed, we should pray. I'm not saying that Paul, just because he didn't pray for something means it's wrong for us to pray, but certainly if God felt it was important to record some prayers of people, then that's probably important for us to understand how exactly they prayed. So I want us to see this morning this truth. We must allow the Bible to guide how we pray. Matter of fact, it's always helpful to pray the Bible. You don't have to wonder if you're actually praying within God's will when you pray Scripture back to God. It's His Word. So I want us to see a number of passages of Scripture. I'm not going to have you turn to all of these because there are a lot of them. But I want us to see, first off, the person of prayer. The person of prayer, that is God. Sometimes we read Scripture and we skip over that which is pretty obvious. But it's interesting to me in these prayers of Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, we are bound to thank God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God. Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God. Colossians 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God. Now, you'll find a couple of things. We'll talk about the second one otherwise. But number one, you'll find that Paul is specifically addressing God when he prays. Did you also notice something else that he starts his prayers with? Thanks. It's over and over and over and over and over again. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But we know this. We know that we address prayer to God. But Paul kept saying it over and over again in his books. He must have wanted people to remember that we're actually praying to God. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to Buddha. We don't pray to anyone else. We pray to the God of the universe. He is the great I Am, the Almighty, the everlasting God and the Prince of Peace. He is a strong tower and a shield and a buckler. He is the God who sees and the God who has compassion and the God who is creator. He is the God who is sustainer and he is the everlasting. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And it is he that we get to talk to. We get to walk into his throne room because of a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and talk to the God of the universe. Wow. May we be mindful of the fact that we are talking to God. We pray to God through the power of the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name. To whom do you address your prayers? I know you know this, right? But it's good to be reminded. We're talking to God. And Paul did that in all his prayers. You can see that over and over and over and over again. He is addressing God Almighty. And what a privilege it is for us to pray. We think on a human level, well, at least I do. I think you do too. and I think sometimes, how does he keep all this together? Like, you know, like running all the stuff and all the requests coming up and so forth. Of course, he's God. It's not a problem for him. But I think it's still good for us to recognize I get to go talk to the God of the universe. I get to actually be awed by him, that aspect of our fear. Again, when I was in high school, I don't know why I'm reminiscing back to high school, but anyway, when I was in high school, I got to be a part of it was a young political thing that I was a part of, and they took young people to Washington, D.C. and taught them things about politics and so forth and so on. At the time, I thought maybe I'd be a politician. I know that's pretty funny right now, but anyway, so we got to see all those kinds of things. But I remember one particular time we got a exclusive tour of the White House, and we got to go in through a different gate, and we didn't go through the normal procedures. We were with congressmen and so forth and so on. And as we were touring the White House, they stopped us before we got to a particular room and said, "You just need to wait here for a minute." Didn't say why. And after just a minute, they said, "Okay, we can go into this room." And we went into this room, and in the very next room, all the dishes on the table were still there. Breakfast had just finished, and President Reagan had just left, like he was just finished eating there. And I want to tell you, it was pretty cool just to be close to the fact that he got to eat right there. I'm like, why didn't you let us come in? You know, of course, they couldn't do that, but it was pretty neat. And sometimes we're awed by those things, but we get to talk to the God of the universe. May we be awed by that. I want us to see, number two, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Paul continuously used the words always, night and day, without ceasing, when he referred to his prayer life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your face. In your faith, I'm sorry. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Wow. The priority of prayer. Paul was, you get the idea of this, and then we know from other passages of Scripture where he talks about pray without ceasing and those kind of things. Paul was continuously in an attitude of prayer. In other words, he was, if you will, on praying ground at a moment's notice. And you say, well, he was probably praying generic prayers for whole churches. Well, I'm sure that was true in some senses. But Paul specifically mentions individuals he's praying for. The passage in Timothy was to Timothy. He was praying for Timothy. And he wasn't just praying, Lord, bless everybody. I hope they'll do this and that. No. He was praying specifically. And when we get to that, I was amazed by it. I'm like, wow, he's praying specific, like this one text that we looked at, that and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul says, I'm not only praying for you all the time, but I'm praying that I'll get to actually come and see you. But when I come, I'm praying that I will be able to shore up your faith, that which you're struggling with. I want to spend some time with you. I want to spend some time discipling you in the things of God. And I'm praying about that aspect. wow. It's like, okay, Paul, these weren't just generic things. The priority of prayer. It's a conviction to us to even think about the fact that we should be constantly in an attitude of prayer. Are you in a constant attitude of prayer? In other words, could you pray at the drop of a hat, if you will? Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Can you run to Him anytime, day or night? Does God wake you up sometimes and put a person on your mind immediately? When you tell someone that you'll pray for them, do you? If you say, I'm gonna pray about that, do you pray about it? Or is that just a nice phrase to say? That's kind of like, you know, a colloquial pat on the back, you look nice today, when you may not or you may. It doesn't, I mean, it's like, no. If we tell people we should pray, we ought to be praying for them. When God reminds us, we ought to pray for them. If I tell you that I'm going to pray for you, I generally pray immediately for that request. And then I ask God to remind me as often as He'd like for me to remember that request. If someone sends me an email, generally I will send back, I prayed for this immediately, and then as often as God brings it to mind, I will pray again. I don't know how often God's going to bring that to mind, but if He wants you prayed for 10 times in a day, then Lord willing, I'll be praying for you 10 times a day. And God doesn't always do that. Sometimes He moves differently, but we should be in a constant state of prayer, the priority of prayer. The person of prayer, it's God. We get to talk to God. The priority of prayer, always, night and day, without ceasing, we're in an attitude of prayer. Number three, the passion of prayer. Paul uses a word a number of times, a number of words, but in this text, he uses the word exceedingly. This word means exceeding or abundantly or supremely. Night and day, exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In other words, this consumed Paul. And you think, well, he probably had a special place for the church at Thessalonica. Well, he did. But when you look at the others, he said the same thing about these others too. And he had personally invested in these people's lives. He was rooted in those, okay? Now it's true that the closer we are to a situation, the more fervently we will pray for that situation. And I understand that, okay? In other words, God doesn't expect me to pray for Emmanuel Baptist Church in Clifton Forge. Okay, I happen to have some children there, okay? He doesn't expect me to pray for those members like I pray for you for a number of reasons. Number one, I get the privilege of being your shepherd, not their shepherd. Number two, I don't know all about them, and I do know all about you. Well, I know some things about you. I may not know all about you, right? Some of you are like, really? What did you discover lately, you know? I know what you want me to pray for, or I know what I think you need to pray, be prayed for, or whatever. That's something that God has given me. But I don't pray for every church in America that way, okay? But Paul was exceedingly, he wanted to pray for these people. He uses the word always a number of times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you. Romans 1 and verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you, always in my prayers. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Philemon in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee, always in my prayers. Now, if we just take these, that's the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, the church at Rome, the church at Colossae, and Philemon. Individuals and churches that Paul says, you're constantly in my prayers. When I think of you, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying specific things for you. I love this illustration. Early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would go and pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well-worn. as they walked back and forth to their special place. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, the grass grows on your path. The grass grows on your path." How often have you beat a path to God? We also see Paul's passion in the fact that he talks about joy. Philippians 1 and verse 4, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." In other words, Paul was glad to run to the throne of grace for these people. It wasn't a chore for him to do so. He counted it a privilege and a joy to be able to pray for them. And again, this happened individual after individual after individual after individual. It's amazing when you look at certain places. The end of the book of Romans, for instance, is one of them that Paul mentions co-laborers with him. It's quite a list before it's all said and done. When you combine the books and the people that he talks about that are co-laborers with him, and you can just imagine, based upon his pattern already in Scripture, that he prays for them that way. Incredible. If someone looked at our time schedule, would they say we were passionate about prayer? Maybe you don't write it down, but if they could somehow see your day, are you passionate about prayer? Do you find yourself doing something else and then praying for solutions? Or do you first pray and then work on something else? All of us are guilty, aren't we? We tend, if we're not careful, to worry about something and then go, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to pray." Or we tend, this week even, I thought about, as I sent a text to someone, I began to phrase it like, "I wish there was something else I can do, but pray." And it's like, as if that's not a significant thing. It is a significant thing, and it may not specifically meet the need that you want, because maybe God says no or whatever. But so many times we don't see prayer as significant, or maybe it's because we don't pray for others like we say, and so we assume others don't pray for us like they say. So in other words, maybe everybody assumes it's just kind of a colloquial saying rather than actual praying. But what if we really prayed? Paul prayed for these people. I want us to look at number 4, Paul's perspective when praying. Again, it's interesting how Paul uses the idea of thankfulness over and over and over and over again. Again, I'm going to reread some of these verses. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you." Philippians 1 and verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, "I thank God whom I've served from my forefathers." Philemon Philemon 4, there's just one chapter. "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." See, Paul didn't see people or their problems as a bother. He was thankful for them and told God he was thankful for them. And as he called their names and their churches and their people before the throne of grace, he was thankful that he got the privilege of praying for them. Was this without difficulty? Oh, no. Not only was Paul going through difficulty, and we see that from other passages of Scripture, but in some cases, he was going to write tough letters to some of these churches. He was going to call out individuals in some of these churches publicly. It wasn't that he didn't care. He had prayed about these things. He cared about these people individually. And there's a number of things that he specifically talks about. Number one, he is thankful that they are growing in their faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth." Paul says, "I'm thankful that your faith is growing. I can see tangible benefits of what's happening in your life. growth is happening. Number two, he's thankful that they're loving others. In that same text, he says, and that your charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. In other words, Paul says, as I pray about you, I can see you specifically growing in the things of the Lord. I can see you beginning to love others the way you should. And I'm just thankful for that. He's also thankful for the grace of God in some of their lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm so grateful that God's grace is working in your life. Again, context of 1 Corinthians, Paul's going to say some really tough things to that church. He's going to really call them out in some areas that they needed to be called out for, but Paul's been praying for them. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he's thankful for their testimony. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wow. What a testimony that is that the Church of Rome, the whole world is talking about it. And Paul says, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what God is doing in your lives. And I've been praying about that specifically. Someone has said, thank God for what you're asking for. God, I'm thankful that you're going to do X. Lord, thank you for providing X. You're like, we hadn't provided it yet. Yeah, but go ahead and thank him now. Paul was constantly thanking God for these things. Now, let's just be practical here for a minute, okay? Do you think that in some of these churches, there were people that were difficult? Do you think in these churches there were some people that had sin issues? We know that to be true. We know there were people difficult because he calls some on the carpet in Philippians. He calls sin what it is when he gets to the book of 1 Corinthians. So yes, there were difficult things. But Paul chose not to concentrate on those things. He thanks God for them. Yes, he's praying for all of these things. But he thanks God that God is working in their life. A man had a habit of grumbling at the food his wife placed before him at family meals. Then he would ask the blessing. One day, after his unusual combination complaint prayer, his little girl asked, Daddy, does God hear us when we pray? Well, of course, he replied. He hears us every time we pray. She paused for a moment and asked, does he hear everything we say the rest of the time? Yes, dear, every word, he replied, encouraged that he had inspired his daughter to be curious about spiritual matters. However, his pride was quickly turned to humility as his daughter's next question, then which does God believe? Does God believe the complaints that you're griping about, or does he believe the prayers that you're offering? Which does God believe? Can I ask you, which does God believe in your life? Which does he believe? I'm going to tell you, it's hard to study Paul's prayer life and not get convicted. It's just hard. Does your prayer life include lots of thankfulness? Just, God, thank you. And there are all kinds of things that we don't necessarily thank God for that are pretty important. Aren't you glad the sun came up this morning? What if it didn't? What if it didn't come up for the next month or the next 6 months? I know some of your scientific minds are running. You're like, I don't think we'd make it that long. I'm not sure we would either, but that's the point, isn't it? Are you breathing this morning? There literally is almost countless things that we could call before God. Are you thankful for people and problems you get to invest in? God, thank you that person's a mess. I mean, when Paul was thanking God for the church at Corinth, I don't think any of us who've studied 1 Corinthians would say that church was a model church. They were a mess. They were an absolute mess, but Paul still thanked God for them, still wrote a book to them, still ministered to them. It doesn't take us long to be convinced that Paul was a prayer warrior. Would you have loved to knelt beside the Apostle Paul and listen to him pray? I wonder if, and again, I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but I wonder if part of the reason that Paul was leading Caesar's household to Christ, and history records that he led his executioners to Christ, I wonder if part of that was these men heard Paul pray. Heard him pray. Pray for the church he's planted. Pray for the men he's invested in. Pray for the people who are struggling. If you're like me, there certainly needs to be changes as you look at this to the way we pray. If the Holy Spirit of God chose to preserve these facts about Paul's prayer life, then he wanted us to know them, didn't he? I want to ask you this morning, would you ask God to help you make the changes that you need in your prayer life? You say, well, but Pastor, I do have other responsibilities. I understand that. We have to go to work. I got that. We have to be involved in those things. I'm not saying that Paul's saying be a slacker on your job, because he says other things about that, doesn't he? But he does remind us to be in an attitude of prayer. Let me ask you this way, okay? How many of you have ever been on the job working and worrying about something that's going on in your life? Anybody ever do that? Been on the job working, worrying about something? Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you're on the job working, couldn't you pray instead of worry? We could, if we would. You ever prayed while you're driving? You're like, some of the ladies are going, yeah, have you ever been in the car with my husband? I pray the whole time we're driving, right? That's not funny, is it, Mom? But what my point is this, okay? We actually have quite a bit of time that we could do things like this. We could, I mean, you just think about on average, even if you're retired, okay? But on average, how much do you drive in a week? What if you just carried a prayer request list of some special needs and just prayed while you drove? You're like, what else are you doing while you're driving? Listening to talk radio? I can just tell you, I don't even have to guess. You'd be a lot better off praying. Okay? You just would, right? You're like, well, I mean, it's only a 7-minute commute. Okay, so it's 7 minutes. I tell the guys in some of the classes, how long does it take you to walk from the dorm to the college? 5, 10 minutes or whatever? How many times do you do that a day? 3, 4, 5 times back and forth? If you only took the time you walked from the dorm to the college and back to your dorm and back to the college and back to your dorm, if you only took that time to pray, how much time would it end up being? By the way, you can pray for an awful lot in 15 or 20 seconds. You really can. So no matter what, we can pray if we will pray. So when we say, yeah, but did Paul really pray always, night and day, all the time? Paul was in an attitude of prayer, and I believe rather than worry, Paul prayed. Rather than talk about problems, I think Paul prayed. I think he took every opportunity to pray. And when the church at Thessalonica came into his mind, he's like, God, thank you for what you're doing in that church. Man, I'm so grateful for this, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for the work you're doing. Lord, would you strengthen their faith? Boy, they're going through some persecution right now. God, thank you for that church at Philippi. Boy, I remember that Philippian jailer. I remember him walking into my cell and saying, how can I be saved? And boy, just let God help his faith to grow. I think based on what we see in Scripture, that's what Paul was doing. Chained to a guard. Let's pray. Hey, tell me about yourself. Well, you don't really want to know about me. Well, what's going on? You married? Yeah. What? Have any kids? Yeah. Let me pray for them. You couldn't be around somebody like that long before it would impact you. And that's what we get from the Apostle Paul. Father, help us to be prayer warriors. I know so many times in our lives we get to the point that we just kind of go through the motions. And yet there's so many things that we can pray for, and there's so much time that we can pray. Help us to be people of prayer. Help our first response to be pray. Help my first response to be pray. I don't always do that either. Help us to pray. And we thank you in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed to Sunday school.